Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as I try and navigate this crazy world and this thing I'm supposed to have called mental health. Now, today, I am going to kind of finish off talking about the Commander Masters spoilers and stuff. I, once again, do not do, like, full set reviews. I just kind of pick and choose some of the cards I like to see. And with this one being Commander-centered, I kind of wanted to take an episode to talk about some of the Commanders that are getting reprinted. And I'm going to do that. But first, I want to address some controversy, I know, crazy, about the Slivers precon. And the consensus is the land base sucks. My answer to that is it's a pre-constructed deck. It's meant to be bought and then upgraded. It is meant to be a starting point, so you don't have to individually buy everything and you can just pick and choose what you want to add. That said, yes, the Sliver deck that I have has a near-perfect 5-color mana base because I have been building it for the last 7 years. There's a lot that I have put into this deck, and that's just the way it is. I would not really expect them to put all of the fetch lands and shock lands into a pre-constructed deck. That would be insane. And the deck's cost alone would jump to like $300. There's no feasible world where that would be a good idea on their part. Sure, could they have done some other style of lands other than like the slow fetches? Sure. They could have went with just all of the Battlebond lands, the ones that come in untapped as long as you have more than one opponent. They could have done maybe a couple of the, I guess we could call them rainbow lands, the ones that you can, like, pay five into and tap them and get five mana. Like, I'm running Crystal Quarry and Cascading Cataracts in my Sliver deck, and one just says tap five and tap this to add Wooburg, and the other one is pay five and tap it to add five mana in any combination of colors. I just find that the arguing about how a precon is made is super counterintuitive to, well, everything. And that's kind of all I want to say about that. So, moving on from there, we're going to finish my non-exhaustive review of the commanders of Commander Masters. Now, I am doing this through Scryfall, and I do have it set to Wooburg order, so I will be going in that order. And first up on my list is Mangara the Diplomat. It's 3 and a white for a 2/4 human cleric. It has lifelink, and whenever an opponent attacks with creatures, if two or more of those creatures are attacking you and or planeswalkers you control, draw a card. And whenever an opponent casts their second spell each turn, draw a card. This is, it's a great card. It will hopefully be dropping to under $10. And yeah, I'm happy to see it here. Next up in white, we have Heliod Suncrowned. It's 2 and a white for a 5/5 god. It has indestructible. As long as your devotion to white is less than 5, it isn't a creature, and whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature or enchantment you control, and for 1 and a white, another target creature gains lifelink until end of turn. This is most commonly known for the infinite combo of giving the Walking Ballista lifelink, because then you shoot something, it gains you a life, you put the counter back on the ballista, all that jazz. Just a good, solid reprint. And, yeah. Now, we're going to move into blue. And the first blue one I want to talk about is Kaho Minamo Historian. It's a two blue blue 2/2 human wizard. When they enter the battlefield, search your library for up to 3 instant cards, exile them, and then shuffle, and then you can pay X and tap them to cast a spell with mana value X from among the cards exiled this way without paying its mana cost. So, it's a wizard that I was not aware of that I want for my Adelie's wizards and spell slinging deck. And that's it. That's all there is to it. I didn't know it existed, now I do. Cool. Moving on. Urza, Lord High Artificer. 2 blue blue for a 1/4 human artificer. When it enters the battlefield, you make the 0/0 colorless construct artifact token that gets the +1/+1 for each artifact you control. Colloquially known as the Karn struct, because the first card that made those artifacts was a Karn planeswalker. So, Karn structs. You can tap an untapped artifact you control to add blue. Pay 5, shuffle your library, then exile the top card. Until end of turn, you may play that card without paying its mana cost. So it's very strong. It's one of those cards that I don't know if I actually want to build it, but it would fit very nicely into a couple of other decks that I have made or I've been thinking about making. And it's just going to be a good time to pick them up. And okay, from there we're going to move into black. And first up there I have Erebos, Bleak Hearted, which is 3 and a black for a 5/6 god. It has indestructible. As long as your devotion to black is less than 5, Erebos isn't a creature. Whenever another creature you control dies, you may pay 2 life. If you do, draw a card. You can pay 1 and a black and sacrifice another creature to give target creature -2/-1 till end of turn. Again, is this the most exciting card in the set? No, but it's one of those I never had really a chance to pick it up, and now I do, so I'm going to. And, I mean, it forever fits into aristocrat decks, right? So, yeah, that's all I got to say about it. And we're going to round out black with Shirei Shizo's Caretaker. It's 4 and a black for a 2/2 spirit. And it says, whenever a creature with power 1 or less is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, you may return that card to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step if Shirei Shizo's Caretaker is still on the battlefield. To anybody who has not played against a Shirei deck, it is disgusting, even if you're doing, like, the fair stuff. And it does lots of insane stuff. And now I might be able to pick up a copy and not feel bad about it. Right. So, yeah, that's going to do it for black. And next we're going to move into red. And for red, nice and simple, we're going with Grenzo and Neheb. Grenzo Havoc Razor is red-red for a 2/2 goblin rogue. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, choose 1. Goad target creature that player controls, or exile the top card of that player's library. Until end of turn, you may cast that card, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast that spell. This has consistently just been a $20 card for a long time. So, that's it. I'm just happy that I might be able to get a cheaper version here. And quite similarly with Neheb the Eternal, which is 3 red red for a 4/6 zombie minotaur warrior with afflict 3, and at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, add red for each 1 life your opponents have lost this turn. It got very expensive after it came out, and it has not seen a reprint, and now it hopefully will go down in price. It is still a mythic, but you know, it's got different versions of it, so maybe that will help drive down the price of the normal ones. That's what I got for that. And to keep this train moving, we're moving right into green. The first one that caught my eye here is actually Omnath, Locust of Mana. It's 2 and a green for a 1/1 elemental. You don't lose unspent green mana as steps and phases end. And Omnath, Locus of Mana gets +1/+1 for each unspent green mana you have. So it's just a green mana bank. And now I can hopefully pick one up for relatively cheaper than it has been for a couple of the green decks I have that tend to have more lands than I know what to do with. And the other one I want to talk about here is Salvala, Heart of the Wilds. She is one green-green for a 2/3 Elf Scout. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, its controller may draw a card if its power is greater than each other creature's power. And more importantly, you can pay a green and tap her to add X mana of any combination of colors, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control. Again, this is just... it was in one of those conspiracy sets, and it has dodged many reprints, and we're getting it again. So I'm happy for the people that will be able to pick it up now. Now, as I move into the multicolored stuff, I did think about the idea of maybe going over one for each color pair, but I don't want to take that much time. So I'm actually just going to pick and choose my way through there and talk about a few of them. The first one I want to talk about is Zalortha, Strength Incarnate, which is 3, a red and a green, for a 7/3 dinosaur with trample, and lethal damage dealt to creatures you control is determined by their power rather than their toughness. Now, part of the whole reason why I want to mention this is because this is the first time we're actually getting a Zalortha, Strength Incarnate card. The first version was a Godzilla card and did not have an in-universe counterpart, and now we do. So, you know, yay, and all that jazz. Now, the next one I want to talk about is Miri, Weatherlight Duelist, which is 1, a green, and a white, for a 3/2 Cat Warrior with First Strike. Whenever Miri, Weatherlight Duelist attacks, each opponent can't block with more than one creature this combat, and as long as Miri, Weatherlight Duelist is tapped, no more than one creature can attack you each combat. It was one of those commanders that just, where was it ever going to get reprinted, right? And that's the same for a lot of these multicolored ones, like the commander-specific ones like Mizzix of the Ismagnus and Marin of Clan Nel'Toth. They just, this is the best place they have to reprint something like that, because they don't have to worry about, you know, randomly adding experience counters to another precon, right? Alright, now I do want to talk about Boros, because in Boros we did get Gisela, Blade of Gold Knight, which is 4 red, white, white for a 5/5 angel. It has flying and first strike. If a source would deal damage to an opponent or a permanent an opponent controls, that source deals double that damage to that player or permanent instead. So this does include our opponents hitting each other. Now, if a source would deal damage to you or a permanent you control, you prevent half of that damage rounded up. So, Blade, Gisela, people don't want to attack into you because your stuff is going to hit them really hard. Their stuff isn't going to hit you at all. It's just, that's all there is to it. Now, after that, it does go into, like, all of the 3 color combinations, both shards and wedges. And I don't really want to spend a great ton of time there, because I do want to get to the colorless section. And first up in the colorless section is actually a 5-color commander, and that is Morophon the Boundless. Now, Morophon is a 7-mana, 6/6 shapeshifter with changeling. As Morophon the Boundless enters the battlefield, choose a creature type, and spells of the chosen type you cast cost Wooburg less to cast. This effect reduces only the amount of colored mana you pay, and other creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1. This is the ultimate, oh, I wish we had a commander for blank, or I wish we had a commander that, you know, was also just an anthem. This is whatever creature type you want it to be. It covers all 5 colors, and it's an anthem. Now, I do want to round out this list with the Titans in the room, and as of yet, There is no confirmation on whether there will be an Emrakul in the set or not. And that I'm guessing there will be by the end of this, but so far we do know that Kozilek the Great Distortion, which is 8 and 2 colorless specific for a 12-12 Eldrazi, is in the set. And when you cast the spell, if you have fewer than 7 cards in your hand, you draw cards equal to the difference. It has Menace. And discard a card with mana value X to counter a spell with mana value X. And we also have Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger confirmed, which is a 10 mana 10-10 Eldrazi. Whenever you cast a spell, exile 2 target permanents. It has Indestructible, and whenever Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger attacks, defending player exiles the top 20 cards of their library. Now, I have kind of avoided, like, the, as far as I'm aware, commander stuff for, like, the commander decks. That said, Zul'Adok the Void Gorger is 5 and a colorless for a 7-4 Eldrazi. Colorless spells you cast from your hand with mana value 7 or greater have Cascade, Cascade. I am planning on picking up that deck and redoing my Eldrazi deck, which at the moment is actually headed by Mr. Orpheo the Boulder, which is a Jund version of the deck. And I was doing stupid stuff with ramp and stuff. But this does beg the question, is Zul'Adok a fourth Eldrazi Titan? Is there another Titan out there that can free Emrakul? Either way, that's kind of it. This episode is already encroaching on 20 minutes, so I do believe I'm just going to end it there and say have a wonderful whatever time of day you happen to be listening to this. Yeah, bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.